So why did you decide to run for state senate?
Well, you know, Jason, as you know, I've served in the Missouri House in the past, and I've always enjoyed public service, and I think now more than ever in our state's history, I think we need conservative leaders to lead the state forward. You know, right now we're 5 years into an official economic recovery, and we still have an unemployment rate of 7%. We're 47 out of 50 states in economic growth, and I think we could do better.
So you've been out of office, basically a private citizen now, for about 4 or 5 years?
About 6 years.
Time flies. What did you kind of learn in kind of your gap? And did you ever give any second thoughts about jumping back in?
Well, yeah, certainly one option would have been to stay in private life. And I love private life. Certainly I enjoy taking care of patients. I enjoy spending more time with my family. I've had a chance to grow my business. We'll be bringing on a new associate this summer. But really, I am concerned about my children's future and the kind of economic opportunities they're going to have in this state throughout their lifetime. So I really felt that I was someone who was, in a lot of ways, by my background, by my experience as a small businessman, as a physician, to contribute at this point in our state's history.
What's it been like to run for state senate in this particular district? It's all like, I think, central and western St. Charles. Yeah. It's one of the fastest growing regions in the state. It's very, very Republican. There's no Democratic.
No doubt about that.
But there's, I guess, an influx of organized labor people who live in St. Charles County now. So there might be some diversity of thought. What's it been like to run in this district?
Well, of course, it's a challenge. I remember a good friend of mine, 20 years ago, had run for the state senate, and he mentioned knocking on doors. And I asked, in a state senate district, can you really knock on all the doors? And he said, sure you can, but it takes a year. So we've been knocking on doors, talking to voters for 15 months, and we've talk to all sorts of folks, especially, of course, people who are going to vote in an August election. But that includes both Republicans and Democrats. It includes professional people. It includes union members. And it's really been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed doing it. I've worn out a couple of pairs of shoes. And you're right, we do have a fairly substantial union household representation in my district, but a lot of those folks are conservatives in some ways. They tend to be pro-life, they tend to be pro-Second Amendment. So I have a lot in common with the folks in the district, and I think I'm a pretty good fit for the district.
If you end up being elected, how would you operate in the Senate? I think the reason why people pay attention to Senate races in general is the people who are elected to it have much more power than even a state representative. What would kind of be your mindset, and how would you kind of operate in a Republican chamber with different ideologies, essentially?
Well, sure. That's a really good question because, as you know, in the Senate, the ability of a determined group of members of either party to stop things is very great, so that there does have to be more cooperation across party lines. And I think I've had the opportunity to do that. I remember working, for instance, with Senator Green in 2008 to pass House Bill 1549, the big immigration bill. That was my bill that Governor Blunt signed into law that year. I think it will be a good experience, and I think I'll be able to work with folks across party lines to get things done.
You know, there has been this block of Republican senators, John Lamping, Rob Schaff, to some extent, Ed Emery, Brian Yavis, Will Krause, who've kind of acted as this conservative filibustering block. There's some feeling like you may join them on some issues, especially Medicaid expansion and whatnot. Is that a fair assessment, or would you be more collaborative than people may believe?
Well, Jason, you've known me for a long time, and as you know, I am a conservative. And but whether I'd be part of some filibustering block, it would just depend on the issue. Specifically with regard to Medicaid, I think there are lots of this is a challenging time for healthcare in the United States, but I think it's also an opportunity for reform. I mean, look, you're meeting me here in my office. Healthcare is what I do. I've taken care of Medicaid patients for 25 years. It's a broken system. It both spends too much and doesn't deliver good care to the folks that it's supposed to help. So I think we need to look to what some other states have done. Florida, for instance, has done some really innovative things in Medicaid. And I think we can make the system a lot better.
I voted that this, I by fiat during, after filing, I said that this was the number one Republican primary, mainly because I don't think there really are any other Republican primaries where the winner is tantamount to election.
Right.
There's the 24th district, right. But I don't think that winner is by any means guaranteed to be elected.
Correct.
So there's two, you have two other opponents. And I think one of the things that has caught a lot of people off guard is that all three of you have put in six figures of your own money, which is very rare. You typically see one or two people do that, and Mo Nine, you and Blaine Luke DeMeyer did it. You don't usually see all the candidates. I think number one, what compels people to put their own money into a state senate race? And what do you think that says kind of about, you know, the state of Missouri politics, that it might be necessary to do that type of thing in something that pays $35,000 a year and is essentially a part-time job? And be clear, I'm going to ask this question to all three candidates.
Sure.
I'm not just picking on you, but what's kind of your take on that?
Well, you know, my take on that is I can't speak for the other candidates, but I did it because it is that important. And I think that in politics as it stands today, it takes quite a bit of money to get the message out. I have, apart from any loans to my campaign, I have raised more money than my opponents. I've had many, many more individual donors than my opponents. I think my opponents have depended much more on lobbyists and labor unions for their support than I have. But at the end of the day, to really get one's message out in this media market and with present postal rates, it costs a lot of money. And it is that important. Of course, people donate money to charities and to other politicians and so on all the time. People do that because they think the cause, whether it be the symphony orchestra or the children's hospital or the mission or the church, is that important. Well, I think public service is that important, and I believe that I have something to offer and I'm, you know, willing to put my own skin in the game to do what needs to be done.
Kind of similar to the Jefferson County race, where Rorta and Wieland have both faced each other before.
Right.
You've faced Representative Gashenberger before,
right,
in 2006. Is there some bad blood there between you two? Like, there's kind of this assumption that you two are not on the best terms because you've ran against each other before, and I guess you're kind of in the same type of district. Is that a fair assessment, or what's going on there?
Well, Chuck and I have represented the same district, the old 13th district prior to redistricting, and in 2006 we were on the same ballot. I beat Chuck 46-18 in that race. But I don't think there's any bad blood. I think that assumption in part comes from the fact that we do have the same home base in this very large district. Chuck and I live only a half a mile away from each other. So he and I are competing for the support of our friends and neighbors who we see every day. So I think that's the assumption, whereas certainly I haven't had nearly as much dealing with, say, as Vicki Schneider, and
yeah,
she and I have never been on the ballot together. But no, there's no bad blood there. But I think there is a contrast in visions. I think I am the conservative in this race. Chuck, as you has voted for the largest tax increase in Missouri history and voted for an Obamacare exchange. So Chuck and Vicki are both a little more moderate than me, and I think that's the real source of contrast in this race.
Is this okay? I'm kind of alluded to the fact that the stakes are high, and I guess I've read elsewhere that you know, there's been back and forth between the candidates. But has it really gotten, maybe my assumption that it's gotten, quote, nasty or contentious has maybe been a little overstated so far. Do you think it's been less acrimonious than you expect, or do you think it might get more so in the next month or so?
Yeah, I think there's a big difference between contrasting visions for the state and contrasting policy and being personal. So I don't anticipate the race getting personal or ad hominem. I hope that it stays on the up and up. But I do look forward to an open discussion of the issues.
So what do you think it's going to take from a strategy standpoint to win a race like this? I mean, as we kind of talked to before the tape started rolling, it's a big district. It's an expensive media market. What do you kind of do in order to convince the Republican voters that you're the candidate?
Well, I started over 15 months ago knocking on doors, and we've knocked on 20,000 doors. So I think we've had a really positive show of support, and I think we're already well on the way to having convinced the Republican voters of the 2nd District that I'm the one they're going to want to represent them in the state Senate. I think voters, when they look at all of our records, I think they will conclude that I am the conservative leader in the race, and that I'm the one that they want to represent them.
I guess one other unusual aspect is all three of your candidates have lost at least one race. You lost your race for Congress. Gashenberg obviously lost to you. Ricky Schneider lost a race, I think, for O'Fallon City Council. We talked about this before, but what did that experience of not winning teach you for this campaign? It seems like, you know, there is a trend in Missouri politics. Someone loses, they learn a lot, and they win their next race. What did that loss in 2008 teach you for this race?
Oh, yeah, I think, you know, as in so many other areas in life, many times we learn a lot more from our failures than our successes. And in 2008, I think I really, it was in 2008, by the way, we had a very short cycle. Governor Blunt very abruptly decided not to run for reelection, and Kenny Holsoff, my congressman, decided to run for Congress. And so instead of running for Congress for a year or two, Blaine and I were running for 6 months maybe. So I think preparation, building a ground game, which we just didn't have time to develop back in 2008, building a team, making adjustments where necessary, having the time to raise resources and garner support. I think I learned in 2008, a race that big, the 9th Congressional District was a huge district, 23 counties. A race that big requires a very, very strong ground game to really be effective and to move voters. We were able to do that this time. I wasn't able to do it in 2008. Blaine did it better. That's why he beat me.
Would you ever run for Congress again, or is it pretty much state legislature or bust for you?
Yeah, no plans right now. You know, you never know what the future may hold. But no, right now, Congressman Lukemire is my congressman. He's a great guy. I've got to know him really well since 2008, and you know, I think I'll be very happy spending some time in the state Senate.
Anything else?
No, I think that's it, Jason. Thanks for having me on your show.
You're welcome.